everyone, I'm Kat and you're listening to Bipolar Rainbows. This podcast is dedicated to raising awareness about bipolar disorder. While most people only see it as consisting of ups and downs, there is so much to know in between. That living with bipolar disorder is not just black and white, it's a spectrum of colors. Before we proceed, please know that in this episode, we will be talking about lived experiences on bipolar disorder and its symptoms. I would like you to first assess your situation right now and know if you'll be okay with hearing my story. So how do I start this? There's just so much to say. When I was hospitalized because I was struggling from delusions, the first physician that was assigned to me was not even a psychiatrist but was a neurologist. She basically was the one who gave me medications that made me sort of catatonic in a way. I can't move anymore when that medication was injected in my body. The doctor was a neurologist and she informed my parents that the hospital that they brought me to was not trained for psychiatric care, that the nurses doesn't know what to do in cases like that because they of course handle patients. It was a general hospital, so they handle patients with physical diseases. So they recommended for me to be transferred to a psychiatric hospital, and my parents did agree verbally. However, when the time came that I was supposed to be transferred, the car was there, everything was arranged, my parents backed out. He said that I can't leave my daughter there for 3 months, that they didn't know that it was for 3 whole months without them seeing me, without them being allowed to visit me. So they didn't agree, and the neurologist did walk out my room and said, "Good luck finding a doctor." Not the exact words, but yeah, they told my parents to find another doctor because I think she was also a bit offended, and of course everything was already arranged. She already contacted the hospital and she already some time has already spent traveling from that hospital to this hospital, which is very, very far, and I think she really wanted me to be transferred to a psychiatric hospital because in the end she just wanted what's best for my mental health. There were, I think, 1 or 2 days when I don't have an official physician attending to me, but they eventually got a neuropsychiatrist, which I got lucky for. I was really fortunate with that. I was informed that she was not receiving new patients, but then she agreed to be my doctor. The thing is, in the Philippines, there is only like 700 psychiatrists and there is 100 million Filipinos. And psychiatrists are very important in the mental health care industry. They're the only ones who can prescribe medicines. So that's really lacking in number, and you really think that accessibility to mental health care is very much an issue in our country. Of course it is. It is an issue, especially for provinces where psychiatrists and psychologists are not even there to practice. So I pretty much don't remember the frequency of her visits because I was not in a state wherein I'm very much aware of the reality that is happening around me. I respond to that reality, yes, but I responded in a different way because I perceive it in a different manner as well as compared to other people. So my first impression is not really would say not really accurate because it was my impression, but you need to understand that my impression was made during the time that I was having delusions, so it's not really good. I mean, it's hard still. I remember being very excited to see someone other than my family, my maid, and my nurses. And I was excited because the first time that I met with her, she was asking me questions. And when you have the delusion of grandeur, you just really want to talk about yourself. At least from my experience, I love talking about myself. And I remember wanting to prove to her that I was important, that I was a very, very important person. And it was during that specific time that I shared with her one of my delusions. Of course, I didn't label it as delusion because I didn't even know that that belief was entirely false and outside the bounds of reality. But I told her that I needed to go out of the hospital. I told her, can you discharge me? Can you authorize this? Because I looked through the window and I told her that there was heavy traffic going to the broadcasting network. We are very far away from that, but that is the way to that broadcasting network or to that company. And I told her that I need to get out of here. They want to interview me because I feel that a lot of people want to get to know me, want to know the miracles I did, want to know more about why God assigned me to this task. That was my false belief. In my experience, it all started with delusion of grandeur, and there are a lot of other delusions accompanying it because of that main delusion. I don't know if I'm making sense, but yeah. The nurses there, since they're not trained for psychiatric care, whenever I share delusions, whenever I told them what I believe is happening, they will tell me, yes, it is true, yes, just to, you know, get rid of me in a way, because of course they're also handling other patients. And then whenever they validate these delusions, it further intensifies those beliefs. And when the psychiatrist did challenge that delusion, it sort of, you know, make me wonder, made me think if that belief is true. Not immediately, but not really, because the thing with delusions is that they're very hard to challenge. It's not one of those symptoms that people can just say you're thinking is sort of distorted, so this is how we change it. It's really hard to, it's one of those symptoms that is very, very hard to challenge. I remember my first days in the hospital, some nurses did tell me that what I'm believing is not correct. Some of them are telling me that, but what I was thinking back then is that my belief is true. Even if everyone is saying a different thing, everyone is perceiving the reality differently than I am, I still believe that my version of the reality is the one that is true, the one that is accurate, the one is... It's very hard to explain. So it's delusions are very hard to challenge, but at least try to challenge it, of course, because if you just validate the person's delusions, that it further intensifies it. So she was the first one to do that. Back to the heavy traffic thing, she told me, no, I mean, look at the window again, there's no heavy traffic. And then I looked and there was no heavy traffic, and then I said, oh, And then I started to question my beliefs. Not really my beliefs, but my perception of what is happening around you, because it starts with that, and then it challenges. You started to challenge your belief. So she conducted interviews. She asked, of course, questions. I didn't know that that is considered as a clinical interview already. She's trying to, of course, it's not really advisable or recommended for me to take a psychological test, because I was not in a proper state to do so. So she conducted interviews, she asked me questions, and the thing with interviews is that it's very helpful. You just don't get ideas on the content of the answers, but you get ideas on observing one's behavior. And another thing that you can get from interviews is how organized the thoughts of a certain individual is, because the way a person speaks, the way they talk, it of course has something to do with their minds and how ideas are being formed in their minds. So people with bipolar disorder has what we call flight of ideas. So they tend to jump from one topic to another, even if those topics are unrelated. And I think it's very common for people to jump from one topic to another as long as it was asked or it was brought up. But for people with bipolar disorder, even though nothing was brought up regarding that topic, we just switch from one topic to another, even though it is very unrelated. So my parents were there, and I believe that once she left the room, she also talked to my parents, which is very important, especially if the patient has psychotic features at the moment. The thinking can be distorted. So she asked my parents as well. And there was a time that my org mates and my friends visited, and my doctor, my psychiatrist, did enter the room and ask questions half the time that they were there. So she asked me, when did this all start? And I told her an answer or an event. And then one of my friends interrupted and said they started noticing some change in my behavior during this time, and it was after this event, and they think that it was part of the trigger. It was really helpful to get insights from my friends, because of course even though they talked to my parents already, these are the people that I spend most of my time with, since I was very active in my organization back then. So they know what was happening, and they know because they're active also in social media, so they see my posts. So I guess those interviews were enough for my psychiatrist to eventually arrive at a diagnosis. Need to understand that I was already a licensed psychometrician by the time I was hospitalized. So when I was informed that there was a diagnosis, because I saw that on the, I don't know, is it the discharge paper? I saw that there was a diagnosis, and so I was like, oh, she cannot, that's not the proper way of diagnosing someone, since you need to go through a psychological assessment. And it should not just be plain interviews. You need to have test results. You need to have other things like case history data. You need to gather as much information as you can regarding a patient to arrive at a diagnosis. So I didn't really believe that diagnosis, and it took me months to eventually learned that this is the most appropriate or the most accurate diagnosis. I went back to my DSM-5 and saw the symptoms in the criteria for bipolar 1 disorder are the symptoms that most accurately describe my behavior or what happened during that time. And I think part of me also didn't want to believe her because based on the books that I've read and based on what was discussed to me, the disorder tends to, you know, last a lifetime, and I didn't want something permanent. I want something that I can easily get out of, that I could easily say that I'm not having anymore. After I was discharged from the hospital, of course, that is not gonna be the end of me seeing my psychiatrist. Of course, there's gonna be clinic visits. And I remember always looking forward to that. Because after being hospitalized, I was just at home, doing nothing at all. I was just sleeping and eating, and that's all I can remember doing. I'm not really doing something that I want to do. So I was just there. And I always look forward to visits since I'm gonna see someone other than my family, and I'm gonna talk to someone about what I'm currently experiencing, undergoing, and what I'm currently feeling. So I think for the first visit, my psychiatrist did give my mom some sort of a feedback after talking to me. She said that I was still a bit in the manic episode because I was still talking very fast, reaching from one topic to another, and really talking about a lot. But I think during that time, I was still having some delusions because I got discharged from the hospital, even if I still have those delusions in me. So I'm trying to detach myself. I think I was trying, but it was very hard for me to face the reality, because once you had the illusion of grandeur, it's really hard to get out. It's like realizing again that there's a world out there where you're not that important. And I'm very much a person who struggles with that. I can't say that I have a narcissistic behavior. It's just that I felt like most of my life, I'm really someone that people just, you know, can live without. I'm someone that the world doesn't need. So when I felt that I was important, it was really hard to detach myself from that belief. Well, I will say that I, of course, am important. Every human being is important. That's why they're still here on Earth, yada yada. But not important in the sense that I'm gonna save the world. Not important in the sense that I'm gonna solve all the problems that the world is encountering. So I visit her, I think, is it every 2 weeks? And then every month. So every time that she thinks that there is an improvement, she will lessen the visits per month. And then I think there were times that she told me, oh, we can see each other next month, so that's a whole month interval. And then it became 3 months, and leading to now, which is the previous visit that we had, she said that you can visit me, we can do an appointment again next year. The interval was a whole year. That's how much she believes that I am already stable, and I appreciate her for that. I appreciate her believing in me and knowing that I can be stable. And she just told my mom that if there are like any emergencies, to set an appointment with her, but so far there were none. And I believe she was the first person that I talked to about my perceptions of the future, that I told her that I believe that a bright future is not there for me anymore, that I wouldn't be successful, that I wouldn't amount to anything, a lot of negative thoughts. And she just inspired me with words. She showed me that she believed in my potential, and I believed her. I simply believed her, because if it was my parents who told me that, I wouldn't really believe them, because I will, in my mind, I will just think, oh, it's because you're my parents, of course you'll believe in me, I'm your daughter. If I'm not your daughter, you're not gonna believe in me. She also told me that there are a lot of successful people with bipolar disorder, and she asked me, do you know this one, do you know this person? And I told her, yeah, well, she has, or he has, bipolar disorder just like you, and if they can be successful and lead productive lives, then so can you. And she would always look proud. I don't know if that is just my perception of what I'm seeing, but she did always look proud. When she found out I was starting to send resumes and go to interviews, she made me realize that it is something to be proud of, because from thinking that there's no future ahead of me, there's not gonna be success out there for me, I am starting to try again. I'm starting to do things that make me, that will eventually make me believe in my capabilities. And every time I make a move in life, like if I ever need to do some important decisions, I would always ask myself, what would my psychiatrist say? I think that her opinion really is important to me, in a way that her opinion is something that is beneficial for me. That's something that will help me with my mental health. And she actually got really proud of me when I started my master's degree, and when she found out that I have work already and that I've been there for months. And she's always like, see, I told you, you can do it. Not really in that exact same words, but the impression that it left me is sort of like that. And she has a great, huge, huge impact in my life. I don't think she realized that much. I mean, we don't see each other that much, but every little thing she told me is eternally engraved in my mind. She doesn't, I think she doesn't realize that without her, I would have given up on myself. I mean, she was there listening to what I say, and I truly believe that she genuinely understood. I just also want to take this opportunity to extend my deepest gratitude not only to my psychiatrist, but also to all mental health professionals. I mean, you have no idea how much change you have made, how much people you have influenced, how much hope you have given to those who have lost it entirely. And I do hope that you get everything you deserve in life as well. You are also the reason why I aspire to be a psychologist someday, hoping that I will make an impact to other people's lives, hoping that I can make them feel that someone understands, that someone is there for them the same way that you were there for me. For this episode, thank you so much for listening. By the way, if you want to reach out, you can do so by clicking the message button at my Anchor page. anchor.fm/bipolar-rainbows or sending an email to thebipolarrainbows@gmail.com. Thank you so much again and have a sunny day ahead.